Whether you're a man yourself or a woman who cares about the men in your life, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. Join John Kleinig, Hans Feeney, Jeffrey Hemmer, Broer Erickson, and others in this power-packed issue on men at church as they explore toxic masculinity, godly fatherhood, the religious gender gap, and more. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
For the next half hour or so of Issues Etc., we're going to take some time to converse with our listeners via email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We both have a listener email address that you are free to use anytime for any purpose. Talkback at issuesetc.org or our Issues Etc. listener comment line. Also, 24/7, anything you'd like to say, join the conversation, ask a question, take exception, offer some criticism, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
Comes from Kevin. He writes, I became Lutheran in large part due to listening to KFUO in general and Issues Etc. in particular. But I saw something missing in your attempts to hold up Lutheranism as more biblical than other denominations, particularly Reformed theology. Often your pastors and guests make somewhat snide comments about other theologies as if they had no biblical basis for why they believe what they believe. But they often do. So your unexplained bias is not very convincing, as if they had no biblical basis for what they believe, why they believe, and the answers that they give. It wasn't until Pastor Mark Smith suggested reading Martin Chemnitz's treatment of the Lord's Supper that I understood the biblical basis for the Lutheran belief on this subject and why other theologies were inadequate. The clincher was when he admitted that you can't really understand it, but you trust it's true by faith because it's consistent with so many other biblical examples of something being both and. So my suggestion is that you approach these kind of discussions with more of an attempt to explain why Lutheranism is better for biblical reasons and how other theologies miss the mark because they have inadequate or erroneous biblical reasons of their own. Chemnitz did it, so can you. I suspect you have a lot of listeners who would like to be walked through explanations of why we believe what we believe and why we think and why we think they should too. Many thanks for Issues Etc. Thanks for the feedback, Kevin.
We are always thankful for constructive criticism, and I think we probably need to keep an eye on that. It would be helpful if we could get a couple examples of what you're talking about, what guests or topics you think have kind of been snide in their responses to heterodox theologies out there in Christianity, Reformed or otherwise. It's always nice to have an example and know exactly what it is you're criticizing there. I would point out, however, that we have done a number of series in which we have done exactly that very thing. We're currently reviving a series with Pastor Stephen Parks on responding to Roman Catholic proof texts. And what we do is we take the text that the Roman Catholics use in order to promulgate their doctrine, and we respond to it. And so we acknowledge that they claim a biblical basis for the things that they teach, and then we respond to those very proof texts. We also did a long-running series. I don't think we're even really finished with it. We just kind of took a hiatus with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller responding to evangelical proof text. So we take a text of scripture that is commonly used in evangelicalism to teach this, that, or another error, and we respond to it, showing what it actually does teach, responding with the appropriate interpretation of scripture and also with other scriptures that show that the Lutheran position is actually the biblical one. We never do ourselves any favor when we simply assume that our opponents, theological or otherwise, have no good reason to believe what they believe, right? We need to understand the other person's position, then we can rightly criticize that position. But in order to begin to criticize it, to evaluate it, and to respond to it, you have to understand what that position is. And that goes not only for theology, but for just about any subject there is. This is why we spend so much time responding to arguments, say, in favor of abortion, objections to the pro-life position. We do those things because we are trying to do the very thing that you have commended again to us to do, and that is to teach our listeners to understand the position of the opponent and the ideological, theological opponent, and then to be able to respond to it. But first, you have to understand what they claim, and as you have rightly pointed out, the alleged biblical basis for their claims. There's a great book, by the way, that deals with this not only between Christians, but between other religions, called Religion on Trial, It's Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Religion on Trial. We'll be right back. And it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Send me an email that says I love you. Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
40 years greatly blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, June 28th, we're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Lisa writes, she listens in New York, "My Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation just voted to close due to low attendance and a retiring pastor. We don't have the numbers to sustain a new pastor. During the meeting, something called 5-2 was mentioned. I seem to recall one or two shows about the ministry model of 5-2 based on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If you know what I'm referring about, could you please link the shows for me to review? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in New York, Lisa."
Hey Jeff, you might have a better memory than I do. I believe we did a little bit of evaluation of the theology of Bill Woolsey in 5-2 with Pastor Chris Rosebro. Is that correct?
Yes, October 22nd of 14.
Yeah,
2014.
I think we were dealing with a couple of the theological issues. You know, on the good side, this is one of those parachurch organizations that does have I would call it kind of a zeal without knowledge. They have a zeal for reaching people who have yet to hear the gospel or need to hear God's word of law and gospel. There's a zeal there that I think is genuine, but I think it lacks a knowledge or a serious theological foundation. So I would not recommend it, but by any stretch of the imagination. That's not to say it isn't still somewhat popular in kind of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod circles. If I recall correctly, and this has been a few years now, some of the problems that I would point out with the 5-2, I don't know about what its model is, but I do know what some of its theological statements have been. The problem I would have with some of the theological statements is it kind of plays fast and loose with biblical and or theological language, to the degree that these words take on new meanings and unscriptural meanings. They have a kind of a infamous category they call sacramental entrepreneur, in which it's kind of a blurring of the word sacrament. It's fine. They like to encourage entrepreneurship. That's just fine in a civil sense, but it's a blurring of the definition of sacrament, so that as an individual Christian, become a sacrament in the same way that, say, baptism is a sacrament or the Lord's Supper is a sacrament, that you're carrying around some sort of presence of Jesus with you that acts on others the same way that the sacrament acts on those who receive them. There's no biblical basis for this notion. There is certainly the idea that we do possess the presence of Christ, but not that we become sacraments to other people, that the presence of Christ in us, the indwelling Christ, somehow acts on other people the same way that the sacraments act. And it gets even blurrier after that, because the sacrament then becomes kind of whatever it is that kind of hints at or has the potential to open up a conversation about Jesus. And while that might be cute, it might be clever, it is really messing with some rather settled theological language and only adding confusion, theological and spiritual confusion. When there were attempts to correct this language with 5-2 and its founder, Bill Woolsey, they just kind of doubled down on it and decided, you know, we're not going to listen to anyone who wants to correct us on our use of this language. We're just going to continue to use it because we know better. The other theological concern that I have about 5-2 is it has a very peculiar view of the office of the ministry. There's a kind of a famous quote from Bill Woolsey in which he says that he has no problem with finding lay people in his circle of influence that he thinks are fit to preach and then just give them the pulpit. In other words, he believes or seems to believe that he can personally confer the authority to preach and administer the sacraments. And he's put this into practice in his ministry while he was a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I think so after he's left that pastorate and has gone to do 5-2 full-time, that he believes that he personally has the authority to confer upon individuals of his choosing the authority to preach and administer the sacraments. And no single person can take upon themselves the authority that Christ gives to the whole church. These are not decisions made by individual pastors. I'm a pastor. I've been ordained. I've been called. I have been vested with the authority by Christ through his church to preach and administer the sacraments. I don't have carte blanche to go and hand that out to other people or to make pastors elsewhere. I don't. That is what the apostles had the authority to do, which is my final objection, which is Bill Woolsey has a habit of calling himself an apostle, which again is another kind of grave confusion at the very least of that biblical language. So I'd steer clear.
And we have attempted to get Pastor Bill Woolsey on the show. He has declined.
Yes. That's kind of a blast from the past. 5-2.
Here's an idea. We start the 10-4 network because we have a double measure of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but we don't want to... That's also cute and clever.
10-4.
There's just no room for cute and clever in the church as far as I'm concerned. Pastors are better off just being plain old Word of God guys. And all attempts at cute and clever usually end up in some kind of heresy, minor or major.
I'm just trying to bring back CB lingo. Whatever happened to it?
You want to relive the days when your dad was a truck driver and
That's
he was
right.
on a CB with his handle and all those things?
I'll never forget one Christmas my dad got a CB. And that was heaven on earth to him.
So the CB, by the way, for those who were born after the turn of the century, were citizen band radios.
Yes.
It was a band of radio frequencies that were open to the general public. And it's probably all now taken up by other devices, but you could talk to each other in your cars using your CB radio if you knew what frequency. It was kind of like a big party line, what frequency your friend was on, and if they were within range and you knew their handle, you could call them up. And their whole movies, Smokey and the Bandit, go back and watch that one, a movie that would not have been made without the existence of the CB radio. It would have just been guys shouting at each other as they drive by on the highway.
Roger that, good buddy. Tim writes, regarding Red Hen, Maxine Waters, and civility in politics. The accelerating deterioration of civility in politics is troubling me. Condemning Waters' call to act, not just speak against the administration, is appropriate. But I can't escape a sense of hypocrisy. President Trump started this dissent, and Christian leaders rallied to support this fighter for our cause. When do Christians realize that defending this is not worth the damage to our credibility? Thanks for the email, Tim.
Yeah, it's troubling. This is not the only time this has ever happened. We have lived through tumultuous, riotous, violent times in our country before. That's no excuse for it. And I think everyone looks back on those in the rearview mirror and deeply regrets what was said and done during those times in our country. So there are many people alive today who can remember this. They can remember times in our country when people resorted to violence just out of sheer political motivation. And we seem to be verging on the edge of that. I take a little solace, not much, but a little solace in the fact that these calls are coming from, I'm going to make people mad, Jeff. So just prepare to answer the, or to at least acknowledge the emails. I take a little solace from the fact that most of these calls are coming from, for lack of a better word, the fringe of American political life. Maxine Waters lives on the fringe of American political life. She is not considered, I don't even think by her own party, a mainstream politician with kind of mainstream, ordinary ideas about how the country ought to be governed. So when she calls for these things, my first response is consider the source. Even her own party seems to be considering the source. There were, I think, immediate calls from some of the leadership of the Democratic caucus to say, look, knock it off.
Are you talking about Maxine Waters?
Yeah.
No, everything I read was nobody would condemn her.
I read at least two Democratic lawmakers who said, rein it in.
That's good.
Be careful.
That's good.
Okay, let's not do this. We've done this before. It never turns out well. So the leadership, the actual leadership of the Democratic Party has been silent on it and perhaps even chiming in a little bit. But the same problem exists on the other side of the aisle. And whether or not you believe that President Trump occupies the fringe of American politics, it's hard to say that about a president, but at least in terms of his rhetoric, he does occupy a lot of times the fringe of American politics in what he said, especially when he was running for office. You know, the first thing Maxine Waters did when she started catching heat for what she had said, not to excuse it in any way whatsoever, was to go through a list of times that, well, arguably then candidate Trump was advocating or at least insinuating that violence might be the solution to some of our problems. She had a whole list of them. Does that excuse what she said and what she called for? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So we never excuse sin. The end never justifies. I don't care how passionate you are about it, how mad it makes you, how much you are fed up with the other side or what they say or what they do, the end never justifies the means. We never say, well, just because Trump did this, now I can do it. Or just because Maxine Waters did this, now that gives us license to do it. That is the end justifies the means. That is no way to conduct yourself ethically, morally, or politically. And I'm just kind of waiting around to see if maybe the grown-ups will show up at some point. You know, when you were kids, you all got together at grandma's house and you went down to the basement to play and things started getting out of hand and things started getting thrown. That was kind of what it was like growing up. It wasn't violence. It was just the kids were getting out of hand and you started hearing balls bouncing off the ceiling. Jeff has this experience from his childhood and raising five kids. All right. When it's just the kids down there, it's mayhem. It's the Lost Boys. It's just complete anarchy. Then Dad comes down the stairs. And he calls a halt to it. The grown-ups show up. And I think a lot of us are kind of waiting for the grown-ups to show up in American political life. And, you know, I don't think it's a lost cause. Sooner or later, we might elect a few grown-ups.
You're correct. I Googled Democratic leaders, Maxine Waters, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
That's who it was.
Didn't mention her by name, but here's a quote. I strongly disagree with those who advocate harassing folks if they don't agree with you. No one should call for the harassment of political opponents. That's not right. That's not American. End quote from Senator Schumer.
Yeah, so
that's encouraging.
And that's an adult way of dealing with the issue. And look, you put a politician that already has doesn't have an active functioning filter in their between their brain and their mouth. You put a microphone in front of them and you have a crowd that is chanting in support of them. And then they're all worked up about, in this case, it was the issue of detaining parents apart from their kids in our immigration process. And what do you expect?
Kind of like preachers. We talked about the Roseboro, Chris Roseboro last week. People start laughing and they're
preacher gets a little feedback. He gets a little jazzed by the response he's getting, and then he takes it another step and another step, and pretty soon he's a heretic. So it happens in the church and it happens in the state as well. We don't ever say it or advocate or give a pass on things that are sinful. The end never justifies the means, regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. We'll be right back.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just woke me a little.
With so many religions in the world today, how can we know which, if any, is true? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Religion on Trial, Examining Religious Truth Claims. It's written by regular guest Craig Parton. Learn more about Religion on Trial at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Religion on Trial by Craig Parton.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Well, it's happened. Finally got some feedback on my tirade about St. Louis Cardinals baseball catcher Yadier Molina and hero worship in the so-called greatest baseball city in America.
The local press. So review briefly your tirade about the local sports press and their ongoing kind of focus on our probably soon to be Hall of Fame catcher, Yadier Molina.
I call it fake news.
All right.
Is that civility? Is that a lack of civility in sports talk?
When they go low, we go high. So go high.
Okay. Scrap that. I did not say fake news. The Cardinals played on national television against our arch nemesis, the Arians, the Chicago Cubs. A young rookie pitcher pitched 5 shutout innings, Jack Flaherty, and the St. Louis media gave Yadier Molina the credit for Jack Flaherty's shutout rookie performance on national TV after being humiliated by the Cubs on Friday and Saturday. So, again, he's the best catcher in the history of St. Louis Cardinals franchise. He's probably going to be in the MLB Hall of Fame. Not taking it away from him, but St. Louis is absolutely giddy. It's as if he plays all 9 positions by himself.
I even suggested he might be up for Matheny's job. He could be that player
manager.
Yeah,
you were talking about player manager. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Well, they'd love it.
The way they've been writing about him lately, I almost think they're kind of running him for Matheny's jobs. But
you might be onto something there. My point is, on Saturday, Carlos Martinez, our so-called ace, gave up like 6 runs in 4 innings. And Yadier Molina was behind the plate. No headlines that Yadier Molina called a bad game.
Although, let's point out, I want you to be consistent here. You had noticed that he was pitching from the stretch, that he was paying a lot of attention to the bases. He had men on base, and that he may not have been noting Yadi's setup for the position. So,
well, this is my speculation. This was after the Cubs series.
Right.
I was talking about the Saturday before the Jack Flaherty, I mean, Yadier Molina shutout against the Chicago Cubs. What I notice, and I'm not an expert, okay? We can't go into this. Nobody's going to understand the stretch position, so I'm not even going
to. Get to Pastor Moore's response.
By the way, congratulations. Great man. He was just installed, he told me, Sunday at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Vandalia, Illinois. So thanks, Pastor Moore.
And he is also a really big baseball fan.
Well, he was at one time a season ticket holder or partial season ticket holder.
He knows the sport.
Yeah, and he coaches like Legion Baseball or something or other, too. So he knows much more than I do. So he responds to my Yadier Molina hero worship. He says, marquee players always get too much emphasis. Due to injury, trades, or free agency, Yadi is really the only top-tier marquee player left on the Cardinals. Others are being developed to reach that top tier, but they are not there yet. Insofar as sports writers overly focus on these marquee players, I agree in general with your comment. But I disagree with your interpretation of the specific headline after Sunday's game. There are certain aspects in sports that only deep fans of the game appreciate. The casual fan, that's probably me, looks for the basketball guy that sinks a lot of baskets, but the true fan of the game stands in awe of the guy with 27 assists. I agree with that. The casual fan of baseball looks to the guy hitting dingers or the dominant pitcher racking up Ks. Usually the unsung hero on the ball diamond is the catcher, who has studied every batter for his strengths and weaknesses, knows the pitcher's strengths and weaknesses, and devises a strategy to use his pitcher's strengths to exploit the batter's weaknesses. Catchers are the chess masters of the baseball diamond, but most people overlook that subtly. When your catcher is a marquee player like Yadi or Buster Posey, sports writers have the chance to introduce the casual fan to this reality. A seasoned veteran catcher can indeed guide a young pitcher to discover his strengths and confidence. That's the entire premise behind the character Crash Davis in the great baseball movie Bull Durham. The Cardinals have historically enjoyed a decade of greatness followed by a down decade. We saw this with the pennantless 50s, 70s, and 90s. We managed to extend the good times through 2015, but I think the new decade of decline is now in full swing and only one marquee player to highlight. I don't like that is how the pro sports PR machine works, but that is how they maximize their money. Thanks for the feedback, Pastor Moore. Now, my only point is this. I just want Yadier Molina to be treated like quarterbacks are in the National Football League. They get all the glory and they get all the blame. My only criticism is that, did he deserve credit for that Jack Flaherty? Yeah, he deserves some of the credit. But why does he not get the blame when your ace gives up 6 runs in 4 innings the night before? If you're going to give him glory, then you got to be willing to call him out when pitchers don't do well.
That's a good point. But I appreciate Pastor Moore's kind of bigger perspective on things.
Much wiser in baseball than
me. Yeah, and look, the fact of the matter is he's quite right. There are very few catchers in Major League Baseball who get the kind of credit that Buster Posey and Yadi are. Now, they're great. They're fantastic. They're fantastic players. But they don't get the credit that they often deserve because they're sitting back behind the plate. They're doing these things that are, by the design of the way the game proceeds and managed, are secret. And they're doing a lot of little things that guys like me just don't even notice. They are like George Costanza driving down the road. Say, I'm doing things here that you are not even aware of, and they should probably get a little more credit.
Pastor Todd, this is in regard to the Lord's Supper. We object that we do not understand how the bread and wine become the body and the blood. I would confess my ignorance in that I don't understand how an airplane flies. some might object that the engineers do understand the how, and that is enough. And so I would reply to those who do not understand how God gives us his body and blood, that God does understand the how. We have to trust God. I guess my point is that our lives give witness against us, that we are content to fly because the engineers understand the how, but are unwilling to trust when it is God who understands the how. Thank you.
Smartest listeners in radio, no doubt about it. You're quite right there. Now, I would add something to what you said there, that it ought to be enough for us that God knows how. Now, God does not choose to tell us how. The how of the Lord's Supper is part of his hidden counsel, and ultimately, the how of it is not up for theological debate. Roman Catholics try to answer it. Lutherans say, no, we do not answer that question. We simply say that it is. And that's the thing I would add to what you said there. I would add that for Lutherans and for all who believe in the real presence, the emphasis should not be on even knowing that God knows how. That's good, but that's his hidden counsel. The emphasis should always be on that God has told us these things are true. When he says, this is my body, that is sufficient. Even God knowing how is kind of a step removed from that. The emphasis in the Lord's Supper, the ground of our faith, is in God's word, where Christ tells us himself, this is my body. Will he explain to you how? Well, maybe someday in eternity he will, but by that time it probably won't matter. Sufficient for faith are the words, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you. That's the only thing I would add. Insofar as what you have to say, it's fantastic. I would just remind us that God not only has decided to keep the how from us, but he has decided to reveal with absolute certainty that regardless of how it is Christ's body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins.
One last email. It's from John, Pastor Wilkin and Jeff. Thanks for all the great shows. I'm an on-demand listener in Western Nebraska and usually listen to Issues Etc. in the car when my wife and kids are a captive audience. I often hear Jeff say that no one listens to or enjoys the segments that respond to listener email / comment line. However, this is one of my favorite parts of your show, which says something as I enjoy them all. It's great to have you two banter back and forth, even about baseball? That was my comment. And discuss some of your own thoughts in addition to hearing some of the listener comments / questions and your responses. I appreciate all you do. It has helped my entire family become more Lutheran, along with making us more conversant in the issues of the day. Thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening to listener email and the comment line, John from Nebraska.
And we say that not to be self-deprecating, not to be kind of overly self-deprecating, but we see the numbers on listener email and the comment line. We can see them every day as they roll out, and we know exactly how many people are actually listening on demand to those segments. So we know that they're not greatly listened to, but to the few. And I heard at the recent Issues Etc. conference people saying, oh, I really like it when you guys go back and forth. But that is the, what did we used to call it, Jeff? Inane banter. That's what it was. That's the inane banter feature of the show, which it has its place. And there is a segment of listeners who enjoy it, but by and large, the meat and potatoes of the show is decidedly not inane banter. Speaking of that, when we come back, something that is not inane nor banter, Pastor Hans Feeney is going to join us. We're going to talk about some recent allegations of racism against none other than Albert Einstein. Someone found something written somewhere in something he wrote and is making hay with it. We'll also get Pastor Hans Feeney's pastoral perspective on Alzheimer's disease and what it does. And he actually has some really, really good pastoral advice for those whose loved ones suffer this way. We'll be right back.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Lord, help us ever to retain the catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the small catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performance Fitness 618.com.